Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fundamentals Podcast. I'm your host, Harley. Joining me today to talk about the joys of singing is vocal coach Chris Lipe. Chris has had quite a rise on YouTube, offering various lessons, tips and tricks on his channel, helping people to unlock their potential with their singing voice. Whether you're somebody who just enjoys a good sing-along in the car, or whether you're a budding young musician, Chris has something he can offer to everyone. And in this conversation, we talk about his own personal journey, the things he's learned along the way, the joys of exploring your voice, and so much more. So, without further ado, let's get to the conversation. This is Singing with Chris Lipe. So hello, Chris, and welcome to the Fundamentals Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, Chris. Today you've come on to talk to us about something that you're becoming quite famous for, really, in the YouTube community, and that is singing. Now, I think it's something that all of us relate to in one form or another, where we're people who, you know, professionally training and want to become musicians and singers in a band, or whether we just love a good song, we love singing in the car. I think it's something that all of us approach in one form or another. So I'd love to know, from your personal perspective, like, when did your journey into singing begin? What kind of sparked your interest in it?
Wow. Well, I had been singing, you know, really since probably 6 or 7 years old. My mom taught a choir at a local church. And, you know, of course, if mom's teaching the choir, then the kids have to be there too. And so, you know, that was my first experience with singing. And then I took piano lessons later on, you know, when I was 8, 9 years old, and sang along with the piano. But, you know, as a boy, and it's interesting sort of reliving my childhood through my kids in certain ways, because my kids are now about that age. Seeing how they tinker with their voices and tinker with music. You know, my younger son, at the time of this recording is 8, and I have an older son who's 10, and the 8-year-old has completely embraced drumming. And he's been doing it since he was 2 years old. Wow. And he's really, really good. I mean, he can play along with anything. And it's really fun to see that passion for something that he was innately good at be continued, you know, really his whole life so far. And Same with my older kid, you know, seeing he's gotten into singing and piano, but also really into coding, and seeing them sort of catch fire with interests and get passionate about stuff this early. You know, I have to admit, when I was their age, when I was 6, 8, 10, I wasn't passionate about anything. I did stuff. You know, I sang, I played piano, and played with friends and stuff like that. But I didn't really have anything at that age that was, you know, I couldn't put it down. I had to, you know, skip meals or whatever to keep going with it. And I mean, that didn't happen to me until later. When I started getting into rock music, and I remember the first album that I got into was on CD. That was Collective Soul's Hints and Allegations and Things Left Unsaid, and it didn't have great vocal. I mean, Ed Roland's a good vocalist, but it didn't spark my singing at that point. It sparked my guitar playing. When I heard a guitar solo off of the opening track on that album, I have to play the guitar. I was about 15, and having had a musical background, I got into guitar and picked guitar up really, really quickly. And I started teaching guitar the same year I picked up guitar.
Wow.
And that right there really sparked my passion for teaching. I fully admitted that, you know, I was on the journey like everybody else. I wasn't, you know, of course, back then online, I did, that was the first or furthest thing from my mind was to teach guitar online. But I you know, got students from, you know, I put ads up in the music stores and had, you know, 20, 30 students my first year and really became excited about the guitar and about teaching. And I was able to end up quitting the other little side job I had working at Best Buy because I was teaching guitar. And then, you know, getting in a band and playing guitar there and, you know, with a bunch of other teenagers. But my musical life really changed when I discovered Soundgarden's Super Unknown album.
That's a good album to start with, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard Chris Cornell singing on that album and the variety and pain and passion and intensity and coddling and all the things in that voice, my life changed. That was when I decided I wanted to sing. And I'd had experience singing before that, but that was it. And what was interesting is I didn't know how to go about singing anywhere close to what Cornell does. And for the longest time, it was a mystifying thing. And I would blow out my voice even as a teenager trying to figure out, like, how is he hitting those high notes? How does he have that aggression and that girth when, you know, and I kind of wrote it off to, oh, I'm too young. I can't do that yet. But then, of course, later I would realize that some of the things that I was listening to, when you go back in Soundgarden's back catalog, I wasn't much younger than young Cornell when he did his first stuff off of Screaming Life and stuff like that. So I didn't have that excuse for long. But my explorational journey really started with Super Unknown, with playing guitar in my late teens. And I decided at that point that I was going to do music for a career. And, right. You know, my dad was super supportive of, you know, he's a engineer, had a long career in technology. And so for him to be like, oh, you're going to do music? Okay, cool. And really be supportive and throw his weight behind that. Number one has been a huge example for me and my kids and what I've done to try to help them, you know, oh, you're passionate about drumming, you're passionate about coding, here, you know, take all this stuff. And so I decided to pursue music. I kept teaching guitar lessons. I ended up working on an EP of my own material. I started college. And at the start, I was just going to community college, but I was in my parents' basement, you know, learning Pro Tools and experimenting with my voice and listening to Soundgarden albums. And then I went to college for actual music, music industry studies with an emphasis in vocal performance.
Okay.
And just kept following the dream and realized partway through when I would do recitals and stuff like that, first of all, I would do recitals and I was singing differently than anybody else in the group of vocalists and singer-songwriters. Everybody else was they were pursuing what the teachers at the college were doing, and they were being very, I'm holding up quote fingers, they were being very, you know, traditional and proper with what they were doing. And I remember taking a CD of Soundgarden to my vocal coach in college and playing her The Day I Tried to Live and asking her, what is he doing? Tell me what he's doing so I can figure it out. And then at the same time, I was commuting back and forth, and I had an old truck that when you opened the door, it created this B tone, you know, like, beep. Let's see how close I was. Oh, la la! There it is. So it created this B tone when you open the door. And right. I was always trying to get to that B4 tone and just couldn't do it right. Like I'd mess up my voice. And so anyway, I was frustrated when I went to my vocal coach and I said, What is Chris Cornell doing? And for all of her doctor degree, you know, she's a fantastic vocal coach and fantastic person. But with all the education she had and all the training and all the teaching experience, she could not explain it to me.
Right.
She was saying, you know, this, you know, he's got a higher voice than you. Well, he doesn't have a higher voice than me. I have a higher, he's a baritone. And you know, she was trying to explain it in ways that were, you know, it's good to listen to this person, but you're never going to be able to sing like this because you don't have his voice. And I really didn't accept that. It actually, her perspective on it actually made me want to sort of reject her perspective and go further. And it wasn't until I got a CD of Black Hole Sun, and then on the other side of it was a live performance of Cornell singing Beyond the Wheel and Jesus Christ Pose. And that was my first exposure to him singing live, realizing how very different his textures were. And I began to compare what I knew of his studio performances with his live performances. And then I stumbled upon some commentary online about a guy saying he'd attended a Soundgarden live concert and said that Chris Cornell sounded like a dying cat when singing live. and so I was like, well, you know, I don't really think he sounds like a dying cat on this EP that I have of him. But it is way different. And man, if I could even sound like a dying cat, I would be happy. And so I started imitating these sounds that were not of a traditional, you know, what we'd think about as our chest voice or our head voice. And something clicked for me there in those sounds. And so there were various stages of excitement for singing, right? This was a huge one for me. And I was living in a dorm room at the time and practicing vocal performance and recording and stuff like that. And so I just went, when I discovered this, I went to all the people in the dorm because I didn't even have my own bathroom. It was like a community bathroom thing. I said, guys, I am a vocal performance guy and I'm going to be making a lot of stupid noises from now on. I'm going to be doing recordings. And I made a few friends. It was really cool. But I ended up just experimenting and doing all sorts of things with my voice and recording my experiments and having victories and failures and realizing there's some major growth going on here. Then college was coming to an end. I attended that school for 2 years and I needed a job and I applied all over the place. I ended up getting amazingly a staff position at a recording studio out in Indiana, United States. Many listeners probably have heard of the company Sweetwater Sound. You can order music technology gear from them, and they have a recording studio division. And I was an engineer, and I was hired to come on and write jingles. I'd never written a jingle in my life. But I was interested in this position, and the transitions, staff transitions and stuff that were going on was right for them to be open to someone who was musically driven and had some experience but hadn't necessarily written a jingle. And so I wrote some fake jingles for my demo reel, and I told them they were fake. I said, but here, I can write, I can sing, I can play all the instruments, and they hired me. And so I moved to Indiana. And not only did I get to write jingles, but I got to participate on album projects. I got to sing for other people's album projects. I got to sing on a bunch of jingles. And the experience of singing and playing guitar and writing and arranging music became my thing. And it wasn't just hey, you know, write original music or whatever and be your own thing. In fact, it was really the opposite of that. It was more, you need to come up with sounds and vibes that sound like, you know, really anybody, because we're using these little mini jingles, these little songs, to sell stuff. You know, cell phone companies or car dealerships or restaurants or doctor's offices or whatever. You know, whoever wanted to advertise on the radio or, you know, audio advertising. And so I was charged with becoming and understanding what makes other musicians tick. And particularly, you know, I think guitar and arranging, but also vocally. And then the other thing that I got to do a ton in that job was coach other performers, other studio musicians, other people in the recording studio, particularly singers, on how to get great performances. And that was stuff I was doing every day. So the seeds were planted in the 4 years that I was at that recording studio, absolutely, for what I'm doing now. I ended up moving back to Colorado, which is where I live now, with my wife 4 years later after getting that job, because we wanted to start a family and be closer to our other family so that the kids could grow up around their grandparents, stuff like that. And I got hooked up with a company called Jamplay.com. They teach online guitar lessons. And I had never taught online lessons. I'd never been in front of a camera. But through some mutual friends, when I moved back, these guys encouraged me to just get in contact with them and, you know, hey, you're a studio guy, you're a guitar player, you know, maybe you could do something with them. So I put the feeler out there and they're like, yes, absolutely, let's do it. And they just gave me a chance. I hadn't ever done anything like that before, but it was just like the fake jingles. The timing was right. And I was willing to sort of go out there and be, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn how to be better in front of a camera and not be, you know, awkward and deliver well and try to get my thoughts out. And, you know, it took a little bit, but I became one of their main guitar teachers. And then I eventually started working with the company to become their content director, where I would actually help other guitar players create courses for the platform. And so I got to work with some really great guitar players, you know, famous guys, Phil Keaggy and Brent Mason and Ron Bumblefoot Thal and guys from Pantera and Godsmack and Steve Vai's band. It was
it's incredible.
And it's a small company, really small company in Colorado here. And I taught guitar for him for many years and continued to write jingles freelance, continued to write songs, continued to do stuff for radio, and realized that I wasn't using my voice. And I mean, I was singing and stuff like that, but this passion for teaching and guitar was great. But I started to get this itch of like, well, you know, gosh, if this company, if Jamplay can do this with guitar, I think I could do this with voice. And, you know, sure, there are other vocal coaches and there are other platforms that are out there. But I felt like I had something unique to offer vocally, which is this experiential approach to singing. It's not about, oh, I want to sing better. Let's do exercises. Let's develop a practice routine. I mean, I think exercises and practice routines for vocals are cool. But when I really research any singer that's inspired me, they haven't really done that. They have done what I've done. They've and to a greater extent in many cases, experiment, listen to your voice, feel your voice. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to go for this. I'm going to start teaching people on YouTube. I'm just going to share my experience, essentially. Here's how I discovered how to get grit in my voice. And here's how I discovered how to sing like some of my favorite singers. And there was interest there. And there was, it was interesting because the YouTube channel was just kind of flat for quite a while. Not quite a while, really only about 6 months. But as soon as I started putting out the vocal inspirational vocal lessons on YouTube, the algorithm decided to pick up what I was doing, and I'd already created the course, and a guitar player friend of mine who had done online independent online teaching, he helped me with all the, you know, connecting all the dots online and all that stuff to make sure that I had a course that was ready so that if YouTube started to take off, that people would have a place to go. And I'd be able to, you know, okay, you know, yeah, if you like what I'm doing on YouTube, click the link, join my free course, and you'll have an opportunity to work deeper with me in a big course. And so throughout this whole journey, of course, you know, I was talking about my kids earlier, seeing their passions, even at a young age, wanting to fuel those passions, having a long history of teaching other people in the area of guitar and coaching people in the studio, and now building into my kids and then doing, you know, starting this vocal thing. I mean, I love to sing, and I absolutely love to teach. I love to see people and hear people discover and then take what they've discovered and go, I'm going to make this. I'm going to create with what I've discovered. So that long-winded answer to how I got started. There you go.
No, you know, I love it because that's such a great history. And just for the audience listening, a bit of context, the reason I reached out to you is because I'm actually doing one of your courses and I stumbled across your YouTube videos pretty much the way you said. You know, it was one of those inspired, but I can't remember which singer it was now. People who've listened to the show know that I managed to sneak in almost every episode, no matter what the topic is. I love music and I love sort of rock and metal, and I've loved the guitar since I was like 12 years old. So I'm sure it was like a James Hetfield or Corey Taylor type thing that you did. And mm-hmm. I went, oh, how do they do that? Because what you said earlier is so true. I think that's the experience of most of us going to gigs or talking to people, is they go, well, that's just them. That's just how they do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, and people kind of just shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, that they just got a gift, or you're not going to be able to do it, so don't even try.
Yeah, I could but never do that. Yeah.
No, but that's exactly. And there you were in a video going, actually, here's the techniques. Mm-hmm. And here's how they work. And yes, you're not going to sound exactly like Hetfield or Taylor, for example, because, well, they're one of a kind.
Right.
The same way that if you pick up a guitar and you do, like you mentioned one of my favorites a minute ago, Steve Vai, you can sit and do all the Steve Vai exercises you want. You're never going to sound like him because there's only one. But that's okay. You can still learn.
Yeah.
And to what you just said a second ago, you can still take it in your own direction and apply it musically. And I love all of that. And I can relate quite heavily those moments. I think anyone who deeply falls in love with music, who learns an instrument, learns to sing, they have that one album that they hear and they go, yes, I want to do that. And I mean, Chris Cornell, what an absolute amazing place to start. I think, you know, one of the most unique voices that we've ever heard. It's such a funny thing for me, because when I approach this, like I said, I've been playing guitar for over a decade. And what you said earlier about you approach different styles with the guitar, you know, so if you want to learn metal, you want to learn country, blues, whatever, you learn the techniques mm-hmm. and you learn how to sound like it. But when it comes to singing, it can feel like a really daunting place to begin, because as you say, most people, when they're there in the interviews, they don't give you the techniques. They don't say, oh yes, I practiced this scale every day and now I can do this. They just kind of went,
they don't exist.
Exactly. Yeah. They just say, I don't know. I just yelled one day into a microphone and this happened.
Right.
So it was nice to stumble across your course of you as somebody who went, nah, that's not good enough. I want to know, How did you do that? So I'm curious, when it comes to something like being in a dorm, being surrounded by people, and there you are in your room making all the weird, wonderful noises, trying to suss this out, am I right in thinking that you have to kind of throw away your ego a little bit and think, I'm this is going to sound weird and dumb, but I have to get out of my own head here and just go nuts with it?
Well, anybody who's watched my YouTube channel can attest to this. The only way that you're going to discover anything about your voice is by willing to be a complete idiot. And, and yes, you have to throw out your ego. I think you have to be able to throw out all the preconceptions of how you think you should sound in order to discover and feel out the possibilities of how you can sound, right? There's a huge, you know, I should sound like this, or I want to make sure I'm hitting that note well, or I want to be able to cover this song. Those are all fine, but they are limiting. You are holding yourself to a standard, likely before you have really given your voice a chance and given your body a chance to really break out of any sort of shell and figure out what you can actually do. Everybody puts their voice, every single person puts their voice in a box and has these, you know, oh, I've never been able to sing high, or I can't do that. Or, you know, Corey Taylor just has a thick neck, and so that's why he can scream. Well, that's true. He does have a thick neck, and his screams are going to be beefier because he has, you know, of his anatomy. But that shouldn't, you know, that guy has bigger feet, and that's why he can jump higher. I mean, there's yeah. so much more. I mean, there is truth to some of those statements, right?
Yeah.
Which is why they're easy to buy into. But, you know, like, I'm never going to be a great basketball player because I'm not built that way. I'm never going to be a fantastic football player because I'm not built that way. But I'm also not going to be a great basketball player or a great football player because I've never practiced or done anything in a way that has allowed me to even experience remotely the kind of life that one of those professional sports players has experienced. So with the voice, especially, I don't have anything in my voice that you don't have in your voice, that you know, it's the same basic anatomy. Sure, there are weird things where, you know, people are born with issues or whatever, or they've done something to their voice, gotten in some sort of accident. And those are realities too. But for the most part, if you're willing to experiment and throw your ego out the window, especially, I mean, that time in the dorm was huge for me because I just had to make the public announcement, hey, you know, guys, it's going to sound dumb. It's going to sound really weird. And that has carried all the way over into my courses. It's carried all the way and into YouTube. And it's honestly been the single greatest tool that has ever helped me discover anything about my voice. If I wasn't willing to sound like a dying cat, I would have never understood how to access a powerful mixed voice. If I was afraid of how it sounded when my voice cracks, I would have never understood how to sing aggressively and scream. I want to help people understand that it's not easy, but it's simple, and it requires a mindset tweak. And once you have that mindset tweak and you're shown the right ways to experiment and experience your voice, anybody can do it. The best vocalists out there have similar stories. Cornell is one of them. You know, if you go back and you watch or listen to interviews, he will tell you that, you know, the best thing that you can do is just get in a room and see what your voice can do.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember actually I got to meet one of my absolute favorite musicians, Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Mm.
Amazing voice, incredible range. Anyone just go and look up a Hailstorm song and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
But me and my friends were at a gig and they were kind enough to come out and sign autographs, say hello. And she was, and one of our friends was asking her about her voice and saying, you know, like, how did you discover this crazy range that you have? And also, and that's basically what she said. She said, right. Yeah, I had a friend that had like a warehouse, or like this room. And I just went in and just played with it and just sort of see where it went and see what right. I could do. And it was just from that experimenting and that, like you say, just throwing it out the window and thinking, okay, this is going to sound odd, but
who cares? I've got to play
right
until I figure out what it is. And that's, yeah, that's so true. You're right. I think all of us hold ourselves to a standard. And singing's one of those odd things. I don't know if it's because it feels more accessible, if that makes sense. Because like you can mm-hmm. pick up a guitar or the drums for the first time, and I think a part of you can go, all right, well, I've never done this before. So you can almost like prepare yourself for sounding bad.
Right.
But because we all have a voice, and because right. we can all do it, when we try to then sing, like you say, alongside somebody that we admire and we uh-huh. imitate, and then we go, oh, actually, I can't hit that note. We it's easy to then get in our own heads and go, oh, I'm rubbish, or I'm not going to. But everything you've just said is absolutely true, that, well, of course you are, because you've not practiced. You've not right. done what that person on the record or live that you've just seen. You haven't put in their time. You haven't right. put in their effort. But yeah. I love your message, which is like, don't worry about it. You will figure that out. You yeah. will get there at some point. And I guess that's yeah. the joy of singing, isn't it? Is mm-hmm. you haven't got to sound like, you know, your favorite singer. You can no. just sound like you.
Right. And you can be inspired by all these other people. And it's okay to take, totally okay to take that inspiration and inject it into your own voice and use it with the expectation that if you stop at just trying to imitate, I mean, imitating can be a good starting point, right? Like, oh, he's, you know, making this sort of inflection. What would that feel like if I did that? That's, to me, that's not even necessarily imitation, because you're not trying to parrot. You're trying to be, okay, well, what would that feel like if I did something like that? What would that sound like if I tried that? I think that is incredibly valuable and an incredible thing to consider when you're experimenting with your own voice. But if you pressure yourself and you put these sort of measurements on yourself, then you just start in this downward spiral of degrading yourself, like you were saying earlier. And that's not going to work. The best thing is to hold things loosely and choose everything as an inspiration, whether it's someone else singing or even the stupid sounds you make as you're experimenting can be inspirational for you.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's a lovely way to look at it, really, because yeah, like, so you figure out what your limits are and where you're coming and where you're going from. And that's absolutely fine. So when it comes to teaching, then, it's funny, actually, the last guest I had on, our subject was teaching. It's quite a broad topic, but it was really uh-huh. lovely. I was thinking about this today, because the guy I had on, you know, he deals with a physical classroom, and he sure. gets to see kids sort of grow up and take in what he's saying. And that's a really lovely part of the job.
Uh-huh.
With yours, as you pointed out, you've stepped into a sort of an unknown region with online mm-hmm. teaching, a community. So how do you find that in terms of getting feedback? Do you sort of enjoy what you get off of your audience?
Yeah, I've done some things, particularly recently, to connect myself with my student base more. And one of those things is I offer the opportunity for people to have a private lesson as an option when they sign up for the course. And the other thing is I have started the Chris Lipe's My Musical Voice singing group. And those people who have enrolled in the course, yourself included, have received an invite to join this group. And what's been great, that's only been officially open actually for the past 3 or 4 days now. And it's been amazing to see people post stuff. Hey, you know, I'm just starting the course. Here's a video of me. I'll post one when I'm done. And you can, you know, everybody can see and how I've improved and here's the progress. And, but then also in the course itself, lots of people are always posting comments, asking questions, sending little snippets of audio recordings. Hey, is this about right? You know, am I getting this? And that's one of the reasons I structured the course the way I have. It's a 12-week journey that is open at various points throughout different seasons, because I didn't just want it to be a, hey, here's a bunch of videos And I have no interaction or no pulse on what's actually working or not working. Instead, I open enrollment. I invite people who are interested, who have expressed interest in the course, to enroll. And then I close enrollment. And then work with students. It's almost like I've created... It's not quite the same as having, you know, a real classroom. Of course, it's not actually not even close. But by bracketing enrollment periods, I'm able to work with groups of students and not have, you know, just everybody at all different, you know, parts of the course all the time. And, I'm able to get it a little bit more specific so that people feel a bit more connected to me as the instructor and I feel a bit more connected to them. So between the enrollment periods, the comments and the samples that people send me, the Facebook group, and then also I've started on YouTube. This is something I'm doing. I'm trying it for this season. Every Friday, I just get on live and say, hey, everybody, this Feedback Fridays. First 5 people to send me a 40-second clip, I'll just react to it here live on YouTube, give you a few tips. If you want more of this, click the link and sign up for the free course. And when enrollment opens, I'll invite you to the full course. And so I've tried and will always be continuing to try to, not shrink. I'll say shrink the community. That's not really what I'm trying to do. I hope the community continues to grow, but shrink the barriers or get rid of the barriers that happens with online sorts of things. I've even toyed with the idea of launching a different course that has, and the title that sort of has been swinging around in my head is Sing With Me, where it's people who've gone through Discover Your Voice and understand the concept of experiential and exploratory singing. Well, then if you really want interactive and community-driven lessons and interactions, once a week, once a month, or whatever, you sign up for a slot, and there I am with a group of 10, 15, 20 singers on Zoom or on Google Meet or whatever it is, and we are using technology and connecting singers all over the world. So that's something that I have been toying with too, is how can I make things more interactive, more fun, more experiential. The other thing too, and this comes from many years of teaching guitar online. With teaching guitar, very much so, you are, hey, put your hands here. Here's the tablature. Here's the amp model my amp settings or whatever. And here's the strum pattern. And there, you have the tools. But singing's just not that way. It's not. And if you're in the course, you also know that the exercises that I use, it's really not like, sing this scale or do this specific exercise. It's more, well, there's exercises, but they're we unpack phrases and resonances and strange sounds and sensations as part of the discovery process. And that is very, very different than put your finger here and pick the note and it's going to make a sound. And that's why I've designed the course offerings and suites that I have so far in this sort of interactive way. But I think that the inevitability of a weekly gathering of like-minded students where we are face-to-face with each other and singing together and doing things together, I would love to launch something like that within the next year. And so I'm in the exploratory stages of that, and I will be sending out a series of emails. You'll get one since you're in the course.
Yep.
Emails just asking, what do you guys need? What do you want? How's your journey going? how, as your vocal coach, can I better serve you? And I think that this Sing With Me initiative may be it'll evolve, certainly, but maybe something that could really check a lot of boxes for people wanting to continue to sing and explore with their voices.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I just think it's incredible that you're somebody that obviously thinks quite carefully about how to use what you've got to the benefit of your students. And I can attest, with whether it's your videos, your courses, you're very quick to reply and make a point to listen to what people have to say. And I think that's really important, because I've done a few online courses now with different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not accusing anyone of being, you know, negligent or anything. I think sometimes people set something up and they don't think they need to manage it, or perhaps they maybe have too much on. But you're obviously somebody that sets aside time to reply and just sort of nurture what you have coming in.
Sure.
And what you just said a minute ago is so true. Like, yeah, you can learn a guitar is a great example, where if you fret the note, you know, whatever guitar you've got, it's going to make the same note. It's going to make the same thing.
As long as you're in tune.
A voice is so unique that,
uh-huh,
as you say, you can't really say, okay, hit this note.
Right.
Because someone can hit it, but three different people can sound very different,
uh-huh,
in the way they hit it, in different resonances and different, you know, keys or whatever ranges. So I think it's incredible that you make a point to kind of differentiate your style in that sense. And I'm guessing it must be really rewarding for you to see people post comments each week or say, hey, yeah, thank you for your that. I finally got over this. Or they send you a little 30-second clip to, mm-hmm, and you can sort of hear the progress as it goes, right, along each week.
Well, and I think one thing that, you know, this certainly in this last year, the explosion of online interaction for everybody, right, does is it does. It allows, you know, people like us to talk on different sides of the world and you know, have a great conversation and get to know each other. But the other thing it does is it does put up walls, particularly when it comes to the presentation of information and anonymity. And, you know, you get to reach a lot more people, but the quality of the interaction, you know, and this is true regardless of, I suppose, directly related to online things. But, you know, if I have 2 vocal students or 10 vocal students that come to my house every week and we work through stuff, those people are going to get a much richer experience than people buying a course that is from someone that they don't know, that they've never been around, even though, you know, they've watched tons of videos by me and you know, are in the course and have done the exercises and have maybe even taken a private lesson with me, there's still there's a disconnect that happens because you're not in the same space, right? And that is a challenge. I even, you know, with guitar lessons, it's the same thing. It's like, wow, I'm presenting to all these people, particularly on YouTube now. I'm presenting to, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and, you know, thousands are watching the videos. And it is it's rewarding. It's wonderfully rewarding to get comments back like, oh, this helped me. I've been trying to do this for 15 years, and 15 minutes of watching this video, I finally figured out what I was missing. You know, those kind of things. I love it. I mean, it's why I do what I do, right? And I get those people on YouTube, and then of course in the course, it's the finishing of the sentences that I start on YouTube, right? But it's something that I have to remind myself all the time. My job is to help people learn how to sing. It's not to create courses. Yeah. The courses do help people how to sing, but if my goal is to be one of these, you know, social media influencer kind of people where you're sort of selling yourself as opposed to offering a service, to me, especially with voice lessons, you can't really do both, But you can't do both that well. Like, my goal and my perspective has to be, I want everybody who joins my courses, who watches YouTube, I care more about helping them learn how to sing than I do about whether they're entertained watching YouTube or whether they have something to do on Friday night by engaging in my course. I want to help you learn how to sing. And that is really what has driven me and what continues to drive the creative thinking behind, you know, different ways of trying things. You know, are these group, the sing with me, is that something to do? Is it smart to develop a team of vocal coaches that we can, you know, then speak to different voice types and different goals and different, you know, all these things are in my mind all the time, robbing me of sleep. In terms of, you know, what's next? How do we continue to build upon the effectiveness of voice education? That's really where I'm at now.
Wow. That's quite a place to be. And I love that it's, again, it seems that it's coming across from a place that is quite genuine as well. I think that's really nice, because when you're getting into music, especially, I don't know if it's just especially in the guitar community, maybe I'm just more aware of it, but for the longest time, the almighty algorithm kept throwing ads at me for guitar companies, mm-hmm. teaching me online courses. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the quickest thing that would put me off a course like that was when you can tell straight away how disingenuous it was. You know, it was just the way someone would come across on an ad that you were like, oh, you're just trying to sell me this. And, you know, be like, the five secrets to the blues solo. And you're like, well, are you just going to teach me minor pentatonic? Yay.
Well, it's in the presentation of that too, right? And I've had a lot of people, you know, when I started doing what I was doing, they would say things to me like, don't make videos like that where you promise something that you don't deliver. And I think that was some advice that I got early on with the YouTube content. Don't say how to find your mixed voice, but then not show them how to find your mixed voice. And, you know, we've all seen those videos where it's like, you know, hey, just give me 10 seconds or 60 seconds and I'll show you something that'll change your life.
Yeah.
But what they're actually showing you in 60 seconds is they're pointing you to the product they want you to purchase. So they are showing you what will change your life, but they're asking you to pay for it. They're not actually giving you any value for the time that you're spending to watch the video. And that was something that, you know, early on in the YouTube journey for me was my job as a YouTube guy is to provide value. It is not to entertain. It is not to win you over. It is to give. It is to provide something that I find valuable and share it with you, period. Not sell you anything, not ask you to do anything. Certainly, if you want to go deeper with me, you can join my free course. But in that moment, in that video, I am not requiring anything of you but your attention and your sincerity. And if I have those things, I can give to you in that moment. And I think that way of thinking about YouTube has really been a very rewarding and fun thing to see people's reaction. Oh, what? This guy isn't selling me anything. He's actually teaching me how to do something and I didn't have to pay anything. What? And what has happened? And it squares with a lot of the, you know, universal laws that I think some of us experience, right? You know, when you give, things are given back to you. I've had so many people enroll in the course and say something to the effect of, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot out of this course, but I almost don't care if I even get anything out of the course, because I've already gotten so much out of what I've gotten from you already. You know, I've been following your YouTube for a while, and I wanted to support you. And it's a leap. You know, whenever you're in a business like this where you're giving away content, you have to trust that, okay, well, I'm gonna put that value out there, and then I just have to trust that's gonna come back to me in a positive way, and it has. But it's one of those things that if you and you make the parallel directly back to singing, if you are afraid to put yourself out there, then you're never going to be out there, and then those things aren't going to come back. And you've robbed yourself of the opportunity to discover a life lesson if you let fear take control of you, you know? So it's been a very educational thing for me to see how this has all worked. And it's so new. It's only been a year and a half of being, not of being a vocal coach, but of being an online vocal coach.
Yeah, it's funny because you say that, and I was going back for your channel today, and I realized that because it felt like you've been around for a lot longer. I was like, oh yeah, this guy's pretty new on the scene, but everything you've just said I think is spot on. I think, like, for me personally, that was the reason why I was drawn to your work and wanting to learn more, was because it was like, oh, this guy's actually teaching something that's useful. You know, it's a 10-minute video or a 20-minute video that has actual analysis and stuff that is, like you said, in all sincerity, you could just watch the videos and get what you need to get from it. And that's fine. You don't need to go any further. But then obviously, like you said, from my perspective, it was like that. It was like, well, I want to see what else this guy has to offer. And yeah, right. I want to give him some support because he's doing something which is quite genuine. And I think long term, that is such a good view to have. You know, it's very easy to try and cash in. And like you said, have the flashy banners and you know, buy this, and you know, our promises. But I think long term, if you're genuine from the start and you show people, look, here's something that's useful, if you want to know more, come with me, if you don't, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
People will eventually be drawn to that. And like some of my favorite teachers in guitar on YouTube are the same. Mm-hmm. Where they offer great content and they're like, here's my Patreon if you want it.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, the actual lesson is still there, the stuff you can take away is still there.
Right.
And that's brilliant. And coming back to what you're saying just a minute ago, yeah, on singing, you're right. It does nicely parallel that whole journey, which is, yeah, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to learn. And you've just got to be afraid to take risks. And so to that end, I'd love to know, what's probably your single greatest piece of advice you could give to anyone who's starting out with singing in their journey? What's the one piece of advice you would say, this is the most important thing you can take into consideration?
Well, if we hadn't already talked about the dorm room scenario, right? I would point people to that, and I would tell that story. It's the single most important thing that you can do is forget about trying to sound good and embrace the idea of exploring and feeling out your voice, throwing off the preconceptions or the thoughts of I have to perform this or be this or sound like this, and just be open to being you and being open to discovering what you is. that's right, yeah. Grammar, right? What you are, but no, what you is in that particular context.
Yeah.
but so we've talked about that. But if I was going to say something other than that, as far as the advice that I would give someone who has sung a little bit and wants to truly discover what their voice can do, it is, and it feeds into what I just said, but continually practice non-judgment.
Okay.
Do not judge yourself the way you sound, the way you look, the way you project. Instead, experience the way you sound, the way you look, the way you project. And this, of course, could be said of anything in your life. But as soon as you attach this is good or this is bad to something, you rob yourself of being able to experience it for what it is, because it's received a label of good or bad, black or white. But when, particularly with your voice, you are instead of good and bad, and oh, that sounded, you are embracing the idea of it is what it is, and also can be what it's going to be as I continue to embrace what it is and explore what it is. And that sounds so froofy and weird, but it really is this idea of, I suppose I'm taking a long way to say, always keep your mind, your ears, and your bodily tissues open and ready to receive what comes to you as you experiment. That is the best advice that I could give you. And in the courses in particular, I am always inviting people to be intensely introspective, to take inventory, to write things down, to do this particular phrase or exercise or ear training exercise, and really think about the impact that it can have if you partake and interact with it. You have to be willing to interact with yourself in an intimate way in order to sing well. The best singers are very self-aware. They're very introspective. They're very, and at the same time, very open-minded. And so those life qualities, those generic qualities, being able to turn those towards the focus of learning about your voice and experiencing your singing, it's the key. Every exercise, every course you take, every voice lesson you have has to be done with that lens and with that perspective. And then you will be you'll be a forever student of your own voice, which is exactly where you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, what you said there is incredible. And that's something that I can say from experience doing one of your courses, I was really surprised at how much you get to write down and you sort of stop and go, okay, how does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, like you say, we're so used to thinking, well, does that matter? Surely it's just about what sounds come out. But you're right. It's a lot of how you get those sounds is through feeling what mm-hmm. part of your body is at work.
It has to be. The voice is in your body. I mean, it's...
exactly. And it, that for me was a light bulb moment when I was realizing that. I was like, oh, actually, now that you mention it, when I try and do this, my neck tenses up. That's
right.
Weird. I should. And if I do this, oh, this part of my body, my diaphragm, or you know, my stomach and all this should be engaged, not my neck and not my shoulder mm-hmm. or something. And it's stuff like that that, like you said, I think that's incredible, and that's absolutely the best way to look at it. And yeah, that as far as I'm a big believer when it comes to music that it's unique to every individual, but as you say, being introspective
mm-hmm.
is something you have to be hugely aware of.
Right.
It's a brilliant bit of advice, and my hope is that whoever's listening to this, if there's someone who's a bit nervous around their voice, that they're listening to this and A, they go and check out your stuff, because it is well worth checking out. I'm not just saying that, but B, that they take on board what you've just said
mm-hmm.
and they sort of throw caution to the wind and just think, okay, I'm not going to worry about what it sounds like. Let's just go with the experience. So am I right in thinking then that's something that as time's gone on, as you've been teaching more and more, is that something that you love about singing? Is the fact that it's so much more than just making a noise. It's kind of making you more aware of yourself and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that singing, there's so many metaphors to life in singing. And it's interesting. I was actually talking with a student of mine back and forth, and she asked the question. We got on the subject of anxiety because she was talking about performance anxiety and how, you know, she feels like she can do things well when she's by herself, even if, you know, her cat or her roommate are listening, she's okay with that. But when it comes to performing, she gets anxious. And we were talking back and forth about that, and I had some some things to share with her about how to overcome performance anxiety. And I talk about that some in the course and a little bit in YouTube videos as well. And I ended up parlaying some of the information that I talked about with her into some workshops that I offered this last fall, where, you know, people could actually sit in and hear me talk about experiences of overcoming performance anxiety or dialing in your sound live versus in the studio, you know, those sorts of things. But our conversation went in a direction that I hadn't really thought about going. I didn't think it would necessarily go there, which was she asked me, "So are you not anxious when you sing? And ever?" And I got to thinking about it, and no, anymore, it doesn't matter who my audience is, whether I'm performing for 300 people on a live stream on YouTube, or whether I'm doing a karaoke night for 50 people at a birthday party, or whether I'm singing in a restaurant, or whatever, I don't get anxious about it. In fact, singing might be, when I'm really in the zone and making a great recording, or, you know, got my mic and the effects and my headphones on, and it is maybe the one place in life where I am not, I can truly say I'm not anxious at all, because I get to feel my voice and hear my voice and create with my voice. And I feel that way about songs that I record, and I feel that way when I'm teaching people how to sing too, and when I'm doing voiceover work. There's this, it is such a privilege to be able to feel the music being created with my body and love the sound. I love my voice. I love what my voice does. I love what I can do with it. I love listening to recordings of my voice and songs that I've done, and I love sharing those with people. And there's no anxiety in it at all. I mean, there's nothing else in life that I could say that about. There's work anxiety, right? And my voice is my work, and so there's a little, you know. But when it comes to just singing, nothing. Nothing and everything, right? Like no anxiety and the joy of the experience. And that's what I hope that I can, you know, it breaks my heart a little bit when I hear people say, "Oh, I hate the sound of my voice." Like, you're just, let me help you. You know, I want you to love the sound of your voice. Let me help you discover how you can love your voice. And, you know, it's interesting, as we've been talking, yeah, we've talked a lot about singing, but we've been talking a lot about teaching. And that, I'm not sure which I enjoy more. I think that the teaching and the interaction that I get with people, and I talked about my kids at the very beginning of the podcast, it certainly, you know, my kids live in the same house, and so I can have that direct interaction. But I love being able to combine the two things that I am passionate about the most: music and teaching other people in singing, in particular in this season of life. You couldn't have told me, you know, 20 years ago that this is what I'm going to be doing for a job. So, you know, thank you everybody for your support and granting me the privilege of singing and teaching and doing it gainfully. Incredible.
Yeah, I think it's well earned. And yeah, I love what you just said a minute ago there about not feeling anxiety, because I think that's like the biggest thing for a lot of us, myself included. Like, I'm still learning how to do a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I'm going and I'm picking up, okay, this is these keys, these things I know I can do, I think a lot of us can relate to when you're in the car singing along and you're like, yeah, I'm keeping up with this. To the verses, you're in a room and you're with people.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. We can sometimes get in our own heads too much about it. Whereas what you just said a second ago about being in the zone and just like, just feel.
Yeah.
Feel the music, feel the moment, and it all goes out the window. It washes away. And I think a lot of us, you know, who've been to many a show, like for me, when I go to a gig, that's the one thing that stands out, is when I'm just watching the performer and you can just see that
they're in their own space.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's no one there.
Yeah.
They are just fully embraced in the moment.
Yet it's like no one's there in some respects, yet they are sharing that moment with everybody else. It's this weird duality, right? You can be in your own zone, and that own zone can include the people around you, but it's not a begging for approval or a seeking validation in any way. It's here's what I'm experiencing with this music, and I'm going to share that experience with the crowd or the YouTube viewers or whatever. It's the best music is a mutual shared experience. But you can't do that if you're anxious, because you don't want to share anxiety with people. You want to share, no. You want to share the experience of this melody, or the experience of this music, this groove, whatever it is. You want to invite people into that. That's where music is the most powerful. But it's like oil and water. Like if you are uncomfortable while you're making music, you can't, that can't exist. And people can see that, you know, people can identify it instantly. If someone comes up on stage and is nervous, they do not have a connection with the audience, period.
Mm. Yeah. I tell you what, the strangest example I've ever seen of that, and I actually think it's kind of a beautiful story about music, was there was a small band going around based from the town I came from, Bristol, called Lonely the Brave. Now, mm-hmm. they've since had a singer change up. But the first time I ever saw them, their front singer, I don't know if he suffered with some sort of anxiety or something, but he didn't face the crowd. He sort of just stood to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never seen anything like it.
Interesting.
And it did put the audience off. But I will say, when he opened his voice up, it was stunning. The guy's range was incredible. And I remember thinking, I hope he gets over that, because that was the one thing that kind of put everyone off a little bit in the audience.
Right.
But then the next time I saw him facing the audience, still quite, you know, like ripping his shirt a lot. But I thought, okay, that's progress. And then the next time I saw him again, open eyes, smiling, looking at everybody. And I just thought, there, you found it. You found the zone. You found that moment.
Yeah.
And the crowd was really warming to it. And I just thought, that's incredible. That's to me is like the power of music.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you figure that out, you get your voice and it can just make such an incredible impact on people. And what you've been saying, what you do really is helping people to see that, you know, anyone can reach that.
Uh-huh.
Anyone can have that moment.
Yeah.
I think that's so incredible, and making music, making singing in particular, so universal the way that you have, I think is such a great message to put out to people that, yeah, you don't have to be the next, I'm just trying to think, like Freddie Mercury, for example, or something.
You're never going to be. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
You're going to be
but you.
You
can be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really wholesome and brilliant message to put out to the audience. So I'd love to know, I mean, what else have you got coming up then, is sort of in the pipeline? I know you're working on different things, but what can we expect from you in the near future? Is anything you want to sort of share with the audience listening?
Well, you know, Sing With Me, I think, is something that I'm going to continue to be exploring.
Brilliant.
And the idea of bringing more people into the fold of the, you know, experiential singing, experiential vocal. And I think students certainly, but I think finding other like-minded vocalists that can teach and relate to students as well. I just think that the type of singing and this type of approach, you know, my voice and my style isn't going to speak to the, you know, pop female artist, even though the concepts and the way of teaching will. And so, you know, it's like, you know, people have discovered me from, you know, Chris Cornell, or how to scream without hurting your voice, or how to sing like Tom York, or whatever. But if you're not into that, those people, it's, you may not ever have the opportunity to learn what it means to experience your voice. And so it's fuzzy for me right now, but I'd love to be able to get a, develop a team of amazing vocal coaches and singers and enlighten them in the approach of experiential singing and experiential vocal coaching, and just keep going, keep having everybody, as many people as possible, unlock their singing. So that's the one thing. And then I always, have in the back of my mind, I'm going to be doing more cover songs, putting those on YouTube just to sing, right? I mean, it's just to enjoy the process of making music. I am always talking with various musicians about, yeah, we should do an original EP. It's tough to devote the time to that, at least nowadays, with the vocal coaching and the family and other commitments, but I'd love to do more of that. That's what I hope is next.
I think that would be incredible. Like you said, just to open things up a bit more for yourself and for other people, and mm-hmm. and an original EP, I would very much look forward to hearing from you. I just wanted to say, actually, on the vocal covers in particular, I really enjoyed your one of Metalingus by Alter Bridge. That is my all-time favorite band.
Oh, thank you.
So when you put that up, I was like, oh, okay, he's going to try and take on Miles's range. But I was really impressed with what you did with that.
Oh, thank you.
That's an excellent example of taking that and adding your own spin on it, and it just fit perfectly.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, and this was great.
Oh, my pleasure. Just for anyone who perhaps hasn't heard of you, where can they find you, Chris? Where's the best place to reach you?
You can go to my website, chrislipe.com, C-H-R-I-S-L-I-E-P-E. You can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/chrislipe, C-H-R-I-S-L-I-E-P-E. And there's the, I'm on Instagram too. But those two... are the gateways to get in contact with me, to see, check out my YouTube stuff, see what I do.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time, Chris. And there we have it. Thank you once again to Chris for coming on to the show and giving me some of your time to talk about really something that is clearly passionate to you and that you are sharing with other people. It's absolutely incredible. It's what we love to see here at Fundamentals. So thank you. And if you listening are interested in what Chris has to offer, definitely go and check out his YouTube channel, his courses, the website. I've linked all of it down below. It's well worth checking out. As you could hear from the conversation, he's someone that really does care and really wants to offer people a chance to explore their voice and be creative and have fun with it. And that's really, I think, what music is all about. And hopefully, we can all embrace that in one form or another. In podcasting news, we've had a brand new update to our logo thanks to a wonderful design by Alex Jenkins. Thank you so much, Alex, for designing this logo. I couldn't be happier with the end result. He came highly recommended to me by Sarah Buttery, previous guest on this show, for the work that she commissioned him to do on the Let's Draws for a Minute logo. If you're interested in graphic design or logos, definitely reach out to Alex. I've put all of his details in the show notes of this podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast, then please do give me a follow on the social medias. Both Instagram and Twitter are at FundamentalsPod, and come and say hi. I will acknowledge anything you send my way. And if you want to go one step further and leave a nice review, preferably 5 stars, on your chosen app of choice, that would be amazing. Definitely tell me, because you will get a shout out on the show. That's enough from me. I'll be back again soon with another guest on a completely different topic. So until then, stay tuned. And stay safe.